Lord, that your presence would bring this story to life, that we would actually know this story to be real and true for ourselves as individuals. Lord, that we would experience your presence in a new way. That we would understand, Lord, your determination to reach people, to save them, to restore them, to give them new life. Father, we pray for your goodness just to be evident in this place, for your joy and for your peace to be evident. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. So we're going to start with the first reading. It's from the first book of the Bible, Genesis, the creation story. And in that book, we're told how the universe was created and everything came into being. We're told that the creation of human beings took place and that Adam and Eve, the first human beings, were given this perfect world by God, but that it goes wrong. And the point of starting the readings with this one is that doesn't seem to have much to do with the Christmas story. The point of starting with this reading is to explain that God sent Jesus into the world to solve a huge problem, to undo the separation between man and God brought about by sin. And because of Jesus, there is a solution to sin and a way of restoring our relationship with God. So can I ask Hope to bring our first reading? It's from Genesis 3, 8 to 19.
Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" The man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and all wild animals. You will crawl on your belly, and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." To the woman he said, "I will make your pains in childbearing very severe. With painful labor you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you." To Adam he said, "Because you listened to your wife and ate fruit from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat food from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken. For dust you are, and to dust you will return."
So will you please stand for our first carol, "O Come, O Ye Faithful." So we move on to our second reading, God's promise to faithful Abraham. Sandra, thank you.
The reading is Genesis 22:15-18. The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. This is the word of the Lord.
What an amazing promise that God gave Abraham when he met him. The background for that reading that we just heard was obviously, many of you will know, was a test that God puts before Abraham, asking him to sacrifice his own son, Isaac. Isaac was the most precious thing to Abraham, obviously. And he didn't want to disobey what God had asked of him. And it's one of my favorite stories in the Old Testament because God dramatically rescues Isaac. And in this really powerful foreshadowing, he says to Abraham, I myself will provide the sacrifice. And he wasn't just referring to the goat that was caught in the bush by his horns, but he was referring to himself giving his own son, a savior to the whole world. In the next reason, the prophet Isaiah, he picks up this promise and the plan and God's plans, and he tells of a wonderful savior sent by God to bring a suffering people from darkness into light. Isaiah sees it as a child being born, a son, who will bring peace and justice into the world. Can I ask Mike to bring us our next reading from Isaiah 9:2-7? Thank you.
Isaiah 9:2. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. For us, a child is born. To us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Mike. Guys, can we stand, please? We're going to sing, Come On Everyone On Your Feet.
Thank you. His mighty kingdom, kingdom forever. And he shall become the all-wonderful Counselor, mighty God. And his mighty kingdom, his kingdom forever. And he shall become the Prince of Peace, Justice and Righteousness, and his mighty kingdom, his kingdom will never end.
The next glimpse of Jesus that we have and God's plan to save the world is also in Isaiah. Can I ask Ollie to bring us our next reading? It's Isaiah 11. The peace of Christ is foreshown.
A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. The Spirit of wisdom and of understanding. The Spirit of counsel and of power. The Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. And he will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, or decide by what he hears with his ears. But with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. The wolf will live with the lamb, the leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf and the lion and the yearling together, and the little child will lead them. The cow will feed the bear, the young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the hole of the cobra, and the young child put his hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea.
So Isaiah the prophet imagines a person emerging from the people of Israel, and he's given us this picture of a person that's going to transform everything. Nothing will be the same again. When this person comes, that person will be close to God. They will bring justice upon the earth and equality for all people. And there will be no more war and destruction. And Isaiah gives us a picture of what the end of human history looks like. So as we prepare to hear the rest of the Christmas story, we sing Angels from the Realms of Glory.
Thank you.
And with the introduction of the angels, the Christmas story progresses. Keith, if I can ask you to bring our next reading. The angel Gabriel visits Mary.
In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent an angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town called Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favoured. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of a greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favour with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One will be born, will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she, who was said to be unable to conceive in her sixth month, for no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her.
One of the ways that we can bring these stories to life is to imagine ourselves as one of the characters. Imagine how you would react if an angel appeared in your room and spoke these words. And it's a really powerful way of kind of studying how God interacts with people and how we can respond in faith. And I love Mary's faith. The angel appears to her and he tells her that she's found special favor with God. And then he gives her this enormous task to do, which is quite overwhelming. And I love what I love most about that is her faith. She believes God. She believes that God is with her. And she knows that if God has asked her to do this, it's going to be a good thing. However difficult and however trying it is, it's going to be exactly the right thing for her. She obeys God and she is part of the greatest story that the world could ever tell. The Son of God being born. So let's stand and sing "Mary, Did You Know?"
Thank you. Never did you know that your baby boy would one day rule the nations. Did you know that your baby boy was born by the night? The sleeping judge of olden is the great.
Luke begins the Christmas story by setting the scene and explaining how Jesus, whose family came from Nazareth, ended up being born in Bethlehem, fulfilling a prophecy given in Micah, which was so powerful and so simple, 700 years before the birth of the Messiah. And Micah said that the Messiah would be born in one place, out of all the towns and cities in the world. Micah told us that in this one tiny village near Jerusalem would be born the Saviour of the world. John, if you can bring us our next reading, please.
Praise God, it comes true. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn.
Glory, praise, praise, praise.
Okay, so the next part of the Christmas story introduces three new characters that we're very familiar with. So Kay, if you'd like to bring us our next reading from Luke 2, please.
It's Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 16. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. Reading with Celeste.
2, verse 1 to 12. The Magi visit the Messiah. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On the coming of the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary and bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
I need a volunteer to light the Advent candle. Well, Lexi really put her hand up very fast then. So this is number 4. We have the Christ candle that we lit on Wednesday at 10 o'clock. Now, Matthew's contribution to the Christmas story is he brings more people involved in the birth of the Son of God. And he tells us of these three magi, the astronomers who were familiar with the prophecies of Isaiah and Micah, among others. And this part of the story introduces a tension and a darker side. The madman, Herod, will see this child as a challenge to his authority. And he represents, in many ways, the way that the world reacts to Christ and to God's plans. Satan would try to use Herod as a means of wrecking God's plan of salvation. But the wise men, like the shepherds, they find Jesus and they offer gifts, gold, frankincense and myrrh, gifts which represent kingship and holiness and sacrifice. Please stand as we sing our next song. It's my favourite carol, so we've got to sing it really loud. To our final reading this morning, the mystery of the incarnation. Clive, if you can bring that passage to us, please.
The reading is from John 1, verses 1 to 8. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light.
And with those amazing words, as you read them and you understand the extent to what to which God is determined to reach every one of us, I'm just flabbergasted every time I read those words. I'm just amazed. The Holy Spirit inspired John to write those words to describe who Jesus is and what he came to do. John doesn't tell us about the human part of the story very much, of the Christmas story. He tells it from God's point of view. He tells us that John is a witness to these incredible events. that his job is to explain it so that people can believe in Jesus. And the whole point of recounting this story this morning is that we believe in Jesus, not as a prophet or a miracle worker or a great teacher. He was all of those things, but more than that, he is the Son of the living God. He is the eternal creator of heaven and earth, who walked with God in heaven before anything was created and spoke the world into existence. John speaks of Jesus as the Word, and he tells that he existed with God in eternity. And he is the one with the creative power of God, which brought everything in the universe into being. This is the person that came as a sacrifice for each one of us. He then presents Jesus as the light of the world, lighting up the world, overcoming the darkness of ignorance and wrongdoing. And John describes Jesus as full of grace and truth. And my profound hope through this service and through this season, through the reading of the carols, through the singing and the reading of the story, that you've met with Jesus today. My profound hope is that you have encountered him, that you've experienced something of the presence of God. The Bible goes on to tell us that Jesus came to die, a perfect sacrifice, that he would satisfy the righteous anger of God with sin, but that he would rise again because he was perfect and did not deserve to die, that he would overcome death, and that he would provide a way for us to overcome death, giving us a way to be born again and to experience this new life with God. The good news of who Jesus is good news for everyone who believes. And every one of us, each one of us this Christmas, can remind ourselves that that gift is available. We can be reconciled to God and born again. We're going to close the service with sharing communion together. It's a reminder of the mission of Jesus and what he came to do. But I wanted to provide communion as an invitation to each one of you. If you have a relationship with God, wonderful. Then give thanks to God for what he's done. If you don't have a relationship with God, take the opportunity to understand what he came for, what he came to do, and what he can do for you going forward into a new season. As we share communion, you can give thanks for the free gift of forgiveness and new life. At this time of year, we're all thinking, wonder if next year can be a little bit better than this year. I wonder if I can do a little bit better this year. Well, the invitation of God is that it doesn't have to be something where you just try harder to be a better person. The message of God is that he will provide all that you need, that he can come into your life. All you have to do is receive that wonderful free gift of grace. You just have to ask for forgiveness for the wrongdoing that we've done. And we're all in a position where we need to do that. But as we share communion, we're reminded that the gift of God is new life, that the gift of God is grace. It's God that provides us a way to commune with our Father and to be with him and to talk with him and to walk with him this coming year. And so let's pray. Father, we share this common experience of not being able to save ourselves. We know the effect that the wrong things that we do have on ourselves and on each other. And we come before you, Lord, knowing that we can't save ourselves. We need forgiveness from you. And we thank you for this amazing story that the God who created heaven and earth was a sacrifice for me and for us. That you gave your life so that we could live, so that we could overcome death and sin. And Lord, that we could live in victory with a hope and a purpose in our lives, knowing that we have a future, an eternal future with the God who created us. Thank you for that amazing, amazing story. Thank you, Lord, that we can be a part of that story. And we pray, Lord, as we've heard of the things that have happened, the things that have been done, Father, we pray that we would continue to be part of the story, that you would continue to influence us, that you would continue to walk with us and talk with us and guide us, Lord, that you'd continue to protect us and bless us as we turn to you for all that we need. Father, in this Christmas time, would you help us as we share this time together, Father, to just encounter you in a new way. We ask it, Lord, in your mighty, wonderful, precious name. Amen. Again, to all of our readers and to all of our listeners for sharing in this Christmas story. And let's all remember that the story hasn't finished. There are chapters yet to be written in this coming year, that God has new chapters for every one of us and for this church. And so we give God all the glory. Have a wonderful week. God bless you.